Chapter 11. If someone had screamed something melodramatic at that precise moment, something like, "Oh my God, he's going to kill us all," it would have been over right there. They would have bolted like sheep, and somebody aggressive like Dick Keene would have belted me over the head with his algebra book, thereby earning a key to the city and the Good Citizenship Award. But nobody said a word. They sat in utter stunned silence, looking at me attentively, as if I had just announced that I was going to tell them how they could all get passes to the Placerville drive-in this Friday night. King was my father. Chapter 15. Nobody said anything. Some of them hadn't got the point, if there was one. I wasn't sure. They were still looking at me expectantly, as if awaiting the punchline of a rather good joke. Others were studying their hands, obviously embarrassed. But Susan Brooks looked altogether radiant and vindicated. It was a very nice thing to see. I felt like a farmer, spreading shit and growing corn. Still nobody said anything. The clock buzzed away with a vague kind of determination. I looked down at Mrs. Underwood. Her eyes were half open, glazed, gummy. She looked no more important than a woodchuck I had once blown away with my father's 410. A fly was unctuously washing its paws on her forearm. Feeling a little disgusted, I waved it away. Outside, four more police cars had arrived. Other cars were parked along the shoulder of the highway for as far as I could see beyond the roadblock. Quite a crowd was gathering. I sat back, dry-scrubbed the side of my face with my hand, and looked at Ted. He held up his fists to shoulder height, smiled, and popped up the middle fingers on each one. He didn't speak, but his lips moved, and I read it easily. Shit. Nobody knew it had been passed but him and me. He looked ready to speak aloud, but I wanted to just keep it between us for a little while. I said,